From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Day and welcome. The Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are here today. On this Monday, getting your work week off right. Maybe you're off today. Good for you. Who knows? I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. You want to chime in? There's some great ways to do so. You can see if you're a Twitter member. Go to twitter.com and at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. Find us on the Facebook fan page. That is simply facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow, The Bill Michaels Show. You can find us over there. You can find us at BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com on the website. You can even email us if you like. Go to BillMichaels @BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaels @BillMichaelsSports.com. But the radio.com app, that's the way to take us everywhere. And you can get the downloads, podcasts, all that kind of good stuff. And the radio.com app is the way. Download it on any mobile device you have or just check it out online. That's radio.com and download the app and you can take us everywhere. Favorite us when you do, though. We certainly appreciate it. The divisional weekend, the divisional playoff round weekend. And you saw some good games, at least somewhat exciting football, but for the most part, I mean, they were kind of determined by half, at least the game, the later game last night. There was some drama to it with the Philadelphia Eagles playing in Houdat Nation. But all in all, it was exciting if you're obviously rooting for those particular teams, if you're looking for the LA Rams to advance and see what they could do with Jared Goff and company. Obviously, they moved on, if you're a Drew Brees fan. I kind of found myself a little bit rooting for the Eagles, only in the sense that I like Doug Peterson. I like how he's young. He's innovative, so to speak. He takes some chances. That game was pretty close. And for those that say it wasn't a defensive weekend, look, the Saints only gave up 14 points yesterday. They had a couple of turnovers they forced as well. Patriots just flat out blew out and dominated the Chargers. The Chargers didn't stand a chance in that ballgame. The Rams knocked off the Cowboys. By the way, I don't side all the time with Stephen A., but did you see the video Stephen A. Smith posted where he was just literally, I think it was like almost 6 minutes long of this video rant, just laughing at Cowboys fans. Just laughing at Cowboys fans because of, I guess, the way Cowboys fans had ripped the hell out of him over the last week because he kept saying that the Rams were going to win the ballgame. Taunting. I mean, almost just inciting anger if you're a Cowboys fan. But Stephen A. Smith, man, what a video over the weekend. If you haven't seen it, just Google his stuff. And he just taunted Cowboys fans. And the Cowboys now, look, hey, at one point in the season, they were, 3-5, I think? And the Cowboys looked to be all but out of it. And then they stormed back. I mean, I think it saved Jason Garrett's job. We'll see if it did or not. I don't think they're going to make a move. But now the Cowboys sit back and regroup. The Colts, in the meantime, they didn't have much of a chance against the Chiefs. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes I picked the Colts because I thought the quarterback, the older quarterbacks would win. Cowboys' Dak Prescott, he had knocked off Russell Wilson the week prior. I thought they'd go in and maybe do a little more damage. They made it close, but the score even at 30-22 wasn't as close as the final score indicated, and the Chiefs just flat-out dominated the Colts. Colts defensively just couldn't stop them. They didn't have much of an answer. And the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, when you look at quarterbacks, and I think Chris Collinsworth had said this, but Patrick Mahomes is fast becoming the face of the league. He's a young, fresh guy. If you want to say clean cut, you can say that. But just as far as the face of the league, just comes in and takes it by storm. Very quick outs, quick passes, precise passing. He can do it with his feet as well. Who's that remind you of? Right. Reminds you of a young Aaron Rodgers. But Kansas City has found something in him, no doubt. 31-13, they ended up beating the Colts. But the weekend as a whole, the divisional round weekend, give me your thoughts, 855-830-8648. I got to tell you, though, there is something special going on down in New Orleans. When they picked up Kamara and company and they had a few draft choices, made a few trades, began to protect Drew Brees, The fact that they're willing to put Taysom Hill, and yes, I know the Packers tried to sneak Taysom Hill onto the practice squad and it just didn't go well. But the fact that they'll run the Wildcat, Taysom Hill at one point was used as a wideout. He was used as the guy that got the ball, the running back, if you will, on the fake punt return or on the fake punt that gave them a first down. Which really, at that point, give credit to Sean Payton, who realized they needed to do something because Philadelphia had come out and quieted that crowd and really started to kind of take control of that ball game in scoring the first couple of scores of the game. After that, the Saints just took it to them. The Saints got that momentum. That fake punt had everything to do with it. A terrific call at the time, and Sean Payton proves why he and you know Drew Brees have been on the same page and had so much success together. Why they had kind of had a reigniting, if you will, of that relationship and of that faith. But you get a couple of good players. Kamara was a big pickup for them. You get a couple of those good players, and all of a sudden you've rejuvenated a football team. And defensively speaking, they're extremely solid. They hit yesterday. I mean, I really like what they brought to the table. They really they put pressure on Foles. They made him get out of his comfort zone. They knocked down more than a few passes yesterday, picked one off. They had a big game yesterday in the secondary. So a really good outing yesterday for the New Orleans Saints, who now will host. They will host the L.A. Rams. Rams now go into the dome down there in Houdat Nation. Meanwhile, you've got the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to be hosting the Patriots. Chiefs score 31, Patriots score 41. Obviously, Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Gronk, and the cast of thousands they bring in with all that experience against the very young, very wily, seems unflappable Patrick Mahomes. Which it was interesting. Only a year ago, we were down at Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes was sitting at our table on the air with us, finding out that Alex Smith has been traded. He is now the starter. The Chiefs are putting all their faith in him. And we got to talk about that last year on the program. So hopefully we have more magical moments like that when we're on Radio Row down in Atlanta this year. But your thoughts on a divisional weekend. Without the Green Bay Packers involved, what did you notice? Maybe in comparison to your own team, the Green Bay Packers. But what did you notice? What did you like? What did you dislike? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Hey, guys, new year, new you. Listen up. You got New Year's resolutions, right? Most of them are usually with physical fitness, and most of them by February, they're toast. But if you were one of the millions of men who struggle with erectile dysfunction in 2018, you can make 2019 the point in which you turn your love life around for good. My friends over at the Neumel Medical Center, the medical experts at the Neumel Medical Center, they have a 98% success rate of treating guys with ED. Where else are you going to get those kind of odds? Seriously, come on. And that's without all the harsh side effects of the pills, right? Do you want to be sharper, more focused, have better energy, more stamina in 2019? If you have low T, they can help you out. Go in and get your numbers checked if you're over the age of 30. It's what I had. And if you want to get in shape, you want to feel better, you want to have more energy, the low T treatments are fantastic. But if you specifically just want to lose weight and start to jumpstart your health and fitness, check out the Neumel All-in-One Weight Loss Program. It's fantastic. Down over 50, 60 pounds. It's a new year, new you. It all starts with a call to the medical experts. The medical experts at Neumel Medical Center with locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Set up your consultation right now. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. That is the Neumel Medical Center. All you have to do is call. What did you take away from the divisional playoff games this past weekend? Did you enjoy football this past weekend? You know what I mean? Matt says, no, I'll take 2-1 road trip regarding the Milwaukee Bucks. I enjoyed the Bucks. Didn't watch much of the divisional round. This one's from Core, who says, K-O-R, who says, enjoyed the divisional weekend. I wish the Packers were there, but I see the Packers are only a few players away from being right there in the postseason. I am confident. 855-830-8648. Chime in. 855-830-8648. This is from Bob. Rob writes, I think the Packers are a far distance away. They just don't look like the teams that I saw on the field this weekend. They've got a quarterback who pouts too much and doesn't get rid of the damn football. They've got a defense who gives up big plays at inopportune times, and they're on the field too long because the offense can't stay consistent. Matt LaFleur has a huge job ahead of him, and I hope he gets it right in the next year or two. Otherwise, he's going to be looking for a job, and we're going to be wondering why we only appeared in one Super Bowl with this kind of a quarterback. There you go. That is from Bob. Bob, appreciate the email. 855-830-8648. Also a big weekend. Badgers had one. Marquette had one. One team was on the losing end. One team had a big comeback win. I'll tell you what we're talking about coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. Bill Michaels Show continues. Hopefully you're enjoying your day today. We certainly appreciate you being a part of the program, as always. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Talking some Bucks, also more basketball, Marquette and Wisconsin. This past weekend, you do the bad before the good, but not a great weekend for the Wisconsin Badgers, who, by the way, are back at it again tonight. They're taking on Maryland there, the 19th-ranked Maryland Terrapins. The Badgers come into the contest 11-5, 3-2 in the Big Ten. Maryland 14-3, 5-1. In the Big Ten, but you go back to Friday night, and the Badgers didn't fare so well. Back-to-back losses in the Kohl Center for the first time in a long time. The Badgers just couldn't get it done. They had a flurry in the second half, but just Carson Edwards, he wasn't flawless on Friday, but Purdue coach Matt Painter says he found his rhythm, and he did late in the ballgame. Edwards was 3 of 16 from the field as Purdue lost to the Spartans on the road, including 2 of 13 from 3 just before that. But Eve hit his first three-point attempts on Friday and finished 6 of 14 against the Badgers. Badgers had some breakdowns in defense. They came in averaging, by the way, only 9.1 turnovers per game, which was the second-best record in the NCAA. But they had 17 turnovers in that game, and that's not going to win you a lot of ball games. They made it to overtime, thanks to some late heroics, but nevertheless, just weren't able to get the job done. And Greg Gard not happy after the ball game, saying the Badgers were so sloppy with the basketball, they couldn't keep Purdue off the offensive glass. And he's right. The Boilermakers out-rebounded Wisconsin 39-32, and that included 17 offensive rebounds. Purdue only turned them into 12 points, but nevertheless, it was enough to get the job done. So the Badgers falter in back-to-back losses at the Kohl Center. That's just not something that happens. So in the meantime, Marquette playing some pretty good basketball right now. They're getting the job done. Marquette's 70-66 win over the weekend, and man, what a highlight night, big time. Marcus Howard got his points, and the unheralded Theo John did just about everything else and Marquette needed to do. Howard dropped 26. John had a double-double, including three big free throws down the stretch. And the 21st-ranked Golden Eagles, they staved off the second-half rally to beat Seton Hall 70-66 on Saturday. The interesting thing about this is that the Marquette Golden Eagles have not lost at the Fiserv Forum. They have yet to lose at home right now. Marquette, second in the Big East. They're a game back behind Villanova. Villanova 4-0 in conference. Marquette 3-1. Seton Hall, Xavier, both at 3-2. But Marquette has not lost at home yet. Nice weekend for college hoops when it comes to Marquette. So good stuff there. And you know what? What I found interesting, I was watching Wojo's press conference after the ballgame, talking about how that was just kind of like that good old-fashioned basketball street fight. Just blow for blow, shot for shot, getting the job done. Just a really entertaining basketball game, for lack of a better term. But Marquette goes to 14-3, and as I mentioned, 3-1 in the conference. Seton Hall 12-5, 3-2 in the conference. So a nice win by Marquette. Nice win by Marquette. So good for the Golden Eagles, and they continue to impress, and they continue to move forward. This is a big year for them, and we expected the Badgers to be better. The Badgers have had some up and down games. And not to be somewhat expected, but they're still young in the sense of actually playing time. But Marquette, they're on the right path right now. They got it going on. That's a tournament team, and I'm excited for March Madness to get here. I really am. I'm excited for March Madness between these two teams to see who can go further and to see if maybe they even get matched up at some point. But if I had to pick it right now, I'd probably say you could say Marquette is at least a Sweet 16 team. The Badgers, got to get out of the first weekend. But at least a Sweet 16 team for Marquette. Excited. College hoops is back, man. It's back in a big way. It's good to see him back. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Talking Bucks, talking Marquette, talking Badgers. Tyler writes, it was an outlier game shooting for the Wizards, and the Bucks didn't have Giannis. They're going to be fine. Hell, the Raptors lost to the Magic a few weeks ago. These things are going to happen to every single team. By the way, Marquette today ranked 15th in the AP, 13th in the coaches. Going into that game, they were 21st. Just an FYI. Make sure I get that right. Jesse writes in the Wendy's email inbox, I'm a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm becoming a fast fan of Malcolm Brogdon. Do you really think Chris Middleton's going to get max if he ends up playing this way throughout the rest of the season? That's the question we were talking about last week. For a guy that would be looking for a max contract now, are you going to overpay him a little bit to keep him here with Giannis, as he's kind of Giannis's guy? Maybe, but with each passing week that the shooting doesn't really put him over the top and he doesn't take a stranglehold on, he had an opportunity on Friday night to really kind of shine and didn't take advantage of it. And we've talked about this before as well. Let's just say down the stretch of this upcoming season, that he just lights it up and really becomes a cog as they get into the postseason, much like he did last year. Well, yeah, then he's going to end up really boosting his value, because when the chips are down, he's going to show you that he's worth more. But if he stays like this, kind of up and down throughout the remainder of the season, no, you're not going to give him a max deal. I mean, it becomes the Michael Redd effect. Why are you giving it to him? Just because maybe he's the best guy that's available at the time, but do you really want to commit that kind of money and that length of contract if he's not as consistent as he needs to be? Of course not. But now you got to figure out what actually his value is being alongside Giannis. You know, being that they're, and I don't know how close of friends they are. Joe, you've been in the locker room down there at the Fiserv Forum, and you've talked to both guys. I mean, how close is Malcolm Brogdon? How close is Chris Middleton? How close to these guys is Giannis? And we talked about Bledsoe last week. There were some articles in ESPN about Bledsoe being the most tradable guy other than Giannis, obviously, on this team. But would you give Chris Middleton a max contract?
No, we've talked about
this.
No,
I wouldn't either.
No.
No way.
No.
I wouldn't either.
Chris Middleton?
But would you pay more to keep him alongside Giannis?
No, I'm Mr. Fiscal when it comes to spending money on players, and this goes for any sport. I like to be smart with my money. Some people see it completely different because they say, well, it's not my money, so let the teams do whatever they want. But I don't think it would be fiscally wise to be paying a guy like Chris Middleton $30 million a year unless he helps carry you to the Eastern Conference Finals or further into the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
That's just how I see it.
Nope, I completely agree. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. By the way, and I'm just going to completely switch topics here for just a second. Tremendous story came out over the weekend. We were talking about the divisional games a little bit earlier. Tremendous story over the weekend that popped up. They had some really snowy weather down in Kansas City in that metro area, and the road conditions were somewhat hazardous. Their offensive lineman, if you didn't read this or hear about this, Jeff Allen, the offensive lineman Jeff Allen for the Kansas City Chiefs, he got stuck. He got stuck in the snow and couldn't get out. There was a motorist passing by that saw he was stranded, pulled him out of the snow, okay? This guy had an SUV, and his name was Dave, because Jeff Allen asked him for a cell phone number. He wanted to take care of him, put his cell phone number in his phone, didn't really hit enter properly or whatever. So Jeff Allen couldn't find this guy, couldn't find the guy's phone number. So after the ball game, after they win, he sent out to social media, hey, a guy named Dave helped pull me out of the snow. I'm trying to find him. Because he wanted to thank Dave, okay? Turns out, first of all, Dave has not been to a Chiefs game, but he's going to the AFC Championship game. And the internet responded in a huge way because he was driving a 97 or 98 black Suburban. He was kind of hoping for a way to contact him. So they get in touch with Dave, who finds out that this guy's looking for him. Now, by the way, Dave had no idea that he was pulling Jeff Allen out of the snow. He just said, look, I just saw him there. He needed some help, and I wanted to help him. So they find Dave, and as it turns out, Dave is homeless, actually living in that car. And his kindness led to more than he'd ever expected. Dave Cochran is his name. Cochran was driving on 40 Highway in Kansas City when something caught his eye. He ended up pulling Allen out. Cochran got a surprise later when his girlfriend saw Allen's Twitter trying to track down the man known only as Dave. And after numerous people replied claiming they were actually Dave, the real Dave emerged. And he's going to go to the game this weekend. And those tickets are for the first ever AFC Championship game between the Patriots and the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And he said he was moved to tears by the extraordinary gesture for the act of kindness now that's being bestowed upon him. And apparently there's going to be some additional, I don't know if it's funds or something, but Allen said, look, this guy's homeless. We're going to try to take care of him. I would assume Dave has caught the eye just for all the Chiefs fans down there, of Chiefs fans. They're probably going to help Dave out in a big way. But, Dave and his dog actually live in their Suburban. He's homeless. And he still stopped and helped Jeff Allen out, the offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. What a neat gesture. What a neat story. Real quick, let's go to Matt listening to us downtown. Matt, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, so I just got a quick comment on paying Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we want to pay them. It's what the NBA wants to pay them. And you have teams like the Knicks, the Nets, the Magic, which has a former Buck GM down there, that will offer him a max contract to steal a player like that that they know they're not going to draft or might not necessarily always come there. So it really doesn't matter what we want to pay because there's going to be a bunch of teams lined up. I mean, look what Jabari Parker got. He got $8 million a year, and everyone was saying, oh, 10 to 15. Granted, it was only a two-year deal with a team option, but either way, it doesn't matter. You have too many crappy teams out there with money to spend.
Well, here's the question, though. Even though those teams are out there with money to spend, would you spend the money on Middleton? Because they're going to spend the money, absolutely, but are you going to match that and keep him here?
Well, yeah, if you lose him, what are you going to do? You have no draft picks. I mean, heck, we traded all our second-round draft picks even. Our next two first-round draft picks traded. How are we going to get anyone? We literally have no one to draft, and we're not signing any big-name free agent. So we're kind of SOL, and Giannis has 3 years left.
Mm-hmm.
So we're forced. There's absolutely no way they will let Chris Middleton walk. They will give him a blank check, and he can sign whatever he wants to get paid. And that's what's going to happen.
All right. Appreciate it, man. He drops off, you get on board. Your thoughts, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Feel free. Go ahead and do it, 855-830-8648. We'd love to hear from you. Also, Steve Novak from Fox Sports Wisconsin, the Bucks television analyst and a former Marquette Golden Eagle. He will join us, or at least he joined us a little bit earlier today, but you're going to hear that conversation coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. We're going to be heading down to the ATL. Looking forward to it, man. I was watching a lot of the coverage yesterday as the divisional rounds of the playoffs are here, and a lot of advertisement for getting down to Atlanta and doing it with a lot of great sponsors, our friends at Skipper Budge. You can check out their huge selection of yachts and pontoons and sport and deck fishing boats, and they're all over the state of Wisconsin. I go to the one out in Pewaukee, and I see our buddy Ryan out there in the service department, our general manager Todd, and don't forget, they're going to be at the boat show. And you can call it ahead and make an appointment to go see him at the boat show. That way you're going to see some of the boats that are going to be on display. I'm sure the boat shows, and the boat show is always fantastic. But they're also in Lake Geneva, Sturgeon Bay, out in Madison, the Prairie Harbor Yacht Club, down in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, Oshkosh, the Harbor Club Marina out in Madison as well. So plenty of places to find our friends from Skipper Buds. Also, Pindell, they are a specialty machining company and manufacturing. That's where they really believe in taking care of their customer. And if you want to become a part of a tremendous organization, if you're looking to become a part of a truly winning team, go to their website, Pindell, P-I-N-D-E-L, Pindell.com. They're in New Berlin, Wisconsin. P-I-N-D-E-L, Pindell, Wisconsin. They're looking for good people right now. And then there's our friends at Brager Chevy. If you're on the lookout for a new truck or a car, check out their website for a huge selection. And if you're looking for great service, go see my buddy Glenn in the service department there. And I guarantee he's going to treat you right and talk your ear off some sports. That's Brager Chevy, B-R-A-E-G-E-R, Chevy.com. B-R-A-E-G-E-R, Chevy.com. And say hi to Glenn when you head over there. Steve Novak, former Buck, former Marquette Golden Eagle, Bucks television analyst in Fox Sports Wisconsin, joined us a little bit earlier today. And, you know, is this team overachieving, or are they right where they're supposed to be? We started out by talking about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think from the start of this, to start this season, and now to look back, I think they've definitely exceeded, I think, my expectations and probably most people's. I think really because when a new coach comes in and you've added four new guys, you just kind of expect there to be, I don't know, a little bit of, you know, you take your lumps, or, you know, you hear the, oh, we're just trying to get the chemistry figured out and it takes time. But really, I mean, there really wasn't that, you know. It was like preseason started and they were playing well, winning all the games in preseason, it seemed like. And, you know, for the last 2 weeks, pretty much having the best record in the NBA. I think Toronto's got them at this point by a little bit. But, I mean, they've come together quickly. And I think Coach Bud, you know, hiring him in the summer was clearly the right decision. I think a big credit to John Horst to, you know, you just look at these things and you go, did they make the right decision, wrong decision? And I think, I mean, there's no doubt that he's got this team on the same page and playing the right way.
The way, when you talk about playing the right way, the way he has used his lineups at time, I mean, Giannis obviously is the straw that stirs the drink, but Middleton, Bledsoe, both have really come on. I know Middleton struggled for a little while with his shooting. He seems to be a little bit better. Brogdon has played significant minutes in a significant role. Brooke Lopez was a terrific pickup. But you're getting it from everybody. That's the one thing that's been amazing. Pat Connaughton, for a while, he was kind of that Darvin Ham spark plug. And then all of a sudden, he ended up with an injury. And then you get Sterling Brown, who gives you quality minutes. It seems like Thon Maker coming off the bench. Seems like everybody's contributed.
They have. And I think, you know, Coach Bud, he does as good a job as anyone I've seen. I think he learned it from Coach Popovich, how to involve everybody, how to keep not only like the players, every guy top to bottom involved and understanding how valuable they are and that they're going to be needed, but also that he respects each guy. He knows what they're capable of. He doesn't think like, oh, we have an 8-guy rotation and the other 7 of you guys aren't that good. Like, that's not his approach. And it's the same with his coaching staff. His top assistant all the way to the guys in the film room are given respect and responsibility. And, you know, the guys in the film room work with the guys on the court because he knows they want to be coaches one day. And I think it's the same with this team. Like you said, you see Sterling Brown going in, you know, he's scoring double digits, it seems like, every game, having big third quarters. And, you know, DJ Wilson, same thing. It's like he's out there making big plays. And so I think keeping those guys involved is why the Bucks have not lost 2 games in a row. There's always someone to step up.
Now, we knew Golden State would really start to pour it on once they get everybody back and healthy and they start to really kind of get their scoring machine empowered. But the Bucks, at this point in the season, as we sit here on the 14th of January, still the top scoring team in the NBA. What, in your opinion, has made the difference?
I think the balance that they've played with is the difference. I think, you know, Giannis is better this year than he was last. I think everyone expected that. Not that it's to be taken for granted, but he gets better every year, and he is. You know, and I think last year, as a three-point shooting team, the Bucks were below mediocre. They weren't making a lot of shots, and they just put 5 guys, it seemed like, on Giannis. So what was going to happen, and I think what Coach Bud did and why they're playing so good, is their three-point shooting. They're second in the league in three-pointers made. Giannis is scoring 18 points a game in the paint, by far the most in the NBA. And they've been a top-5 defensive team all year long. So I just think the balance that they have is absolutely the best the best balance in the NBA right now in terms of top to bottom, and you know, like you said too, guys off the bench contributing. So that's why they're scoring the ball. That's why they're winning, is they've got balance, they've got consistency, and they've been, you know, very, very healthy.
Talking with Steve Novak, Bucks television analyst in Fox Sports Wisconsin. You and I talked last year right after Jason Kidd got fired, and we were discussing all the things that Jason wanted to instill in them, and that he was talking about discipline, and guys had to work harder and get into the gym more and be more fundamentally sound. And I kind of said, look, it may not have been the right way to go about it, and guys got kind of tired of it, they got beat on, but it seems like some of the fundamental things that were ingrained in them, once that cloud lifted and Budenholzer said, just go play and go have fun and go let it fly, it seems like they still have the fundamentals. As you mentioned, they're playing really good defense. They're getting steals, they're getting blocks. Hell, I think they're in the top three, as a matter of fact, in blocks per game this season. So they're doing things right. It just seems like once you're kind of allowed to play and everything becomes fun again, all those things that were instilled in them are coming to the surface just in a different way.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I mean, I think that, you know, the Bucks last year were a good defensive team. I mean, they, you know, at stretches of the season were, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the league, and then at other times they were definitely getting cooked, and it wasn't as good. And so I think that it was last year more in flashes where you saw, like, okay, well, you know, Tony Snell is a very good individual defender, and Giannis is a very good individual defender. I think Coach Bud absolutely connected those dots this year, and in terms of the team scheme, has these guys very connected, and Coach Bud's system defensively is different than Jason's. Jason was more aggressive in coverages. There were more game-to-game adjustments, which I do think as a player, it makes it more difficult. You can be really good if you have a group that, you know, can adjust, but I think in terms of consistency and over the course of a season, the way Coach Bud is doing it allows the guys to not have to overthink too much on individual coverages. And, you know, they're confident that if they did it last game, they can do it again. They know their jobs and their roles. And so they're very good individually. And I think the way he's connected them as a group is why you're seeing them be a top five defensive team all year.
What has made this team better from the outside shooting? Just for the fact that he took the reins off?
I think, you know, Brook Lopez has been enormous.
Right.
I think not only the fact that he's making shots, but the guy who's guarding him is having to come out, who's obviously most times a five-man, having to come out and guard Brook, because if they don't, he's going to make shots. If they do, the five-man is now not in the paint, not in the way of Bledsoe or Giannis or those guys. And so, you know, I just think that the three-point shooting that the Bucks added, Brook Lopez, Ersan, those guys have been huge, Pat Connaughton at times, is working because they have better shooters and because Giannis is still the number one threat. Scoring at the basket in the restricted area is still the number one threat if you're playing the Bucks. So they're trying to stop Giannis going, that's the main thing. And if that's the main thing, then there's going to be some open threes, and they've added some makers. So there's, honestly, when you play the Bucks right now, there's a lot of pressure on you as the other team. Like, what do we take away? Because Giannis can give you 40 points. Brook can give you 7 threes. Middleton can give you 25 points. So can Brogdon. So it's, you know, that's why they've been at the top of the league all year. Is defenses haven't really been able to figure it out.
Hey, I want to ask you, because the Bradley Center's roof comes down, and we all know that the Bradley Center carries a lot of memories for a lot of people, but you played there. You obviously had a ton of success there. Any specific memory sticks out when you think about the Bradley Center?
Oh, that made me so sad yesterday, seeing that. It's just, what I think is, you know, you love the Fiserv Forum. It's amazing, and it has nothing to do with the sadness that happens when you see the Bradley Center roof come down. And I think it reminds me of when people would say, every time I got traded, people would say, you know, are you sad to leave, you know, wherever you're leaving? And you're like, yes, I'm so sad to leave. You know, I have friends and my teammates, and it was like family. And they're like, well, but are you excited to go where you're going next? And you're like, yes, I'm excited to go into the new team and whatever. And so it's, you feel both those things. You know that the Fiserv Forum is the greatest there is right now. But at the Bradley Center, I grew up watching the Bucks, and so, you know, that's that special place where every other person who lived in Milwaukee went to a Bucks game, and you felt that that aura, that special NBA feeling when you saw Ray Allen or you went to a game in 2001 when they were, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think watching those guys there is, and playing at Marquette, obviously, are my special memories. But I think for me, the sadness comes more from, you know, just knowing that that was a place that I grew up watching the Bucks play is now gone.
You know, it's interesting because you had some pretty big moments there as a player. And it's more so the memories of being a kid, which is kind of neat. I mean, I saw J.J. Watt's post yesterday as well when he talked about going and seeing Bucks games and hockey games, Admiral hockey games and such, and you know, Admirals won a Calder Cup there and everything. But interesting, because you had some big moments, dude. I mean, you know, as a player with Marquette, you had some big threes from that place.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, you know, and thinking about it, you know, since the Bradley Center's closed, I think that really was, for me, what it represented was my childhood NBA memories, you know. And and so, you know, playing there at Marquette, I mean, I don't want to minimize that. I played there for 4 years. It was, like, just a wonderful place to play. We had our team pregame meals in that arena where you just kind of bond and you're with your guys. And, yeah, I think that I was able to, you know, that was the stage I was able to first really, I think, prove myself, you know, to the world. And so, you know, I think back to, you know, some games like our first Big East game when we beat UConn. I had my best personal game there. But there's no question the Bradley Center for me, I think, it when I played there at Marquette, it already represented for me a really special place because I think of the memories that now I think are being created in Pfizer form for my kids. So I realized that, you know, more memories to be made, but you kind of want to go over to the Bradley Center and take some debris and just go put it in your house.
There you go. That is Steve Novak from a little bit earlier today, the Bucks television analyst on FoxSportsWisconsin.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Frenzy time when we come back. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open first down call.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie welcome to the game.
Watch Antonio Brown, throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home, fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
Big weekend in the divisional rounds. We start off with Chiefs, Colts, and the Colts did not fare very well. Tariq Hill, he takes it 36 yards. Here it is.
First down, they're going to bring it on an end around. Tariq Hill gets a block, 35-30, jet speed, 25-20, 15-10. Snowshoes! Touchdown! Kansas City! The cheetah can run in the snow! A 36-yard end-around! And the Chiefs, two touchdowns on their first two possessions.
Don't forget, Williams goes 25 carries, 129 yards, averages 5.2, and a touchdown on his own. Big weekend for the Chiefs as they get the win. In the meantime, you've also got the Rams and the Cowboys. Todd Gurley, more running back news. Here you go.
They give to Gurley. Huge hit. Huge lane middle. The 25 breaks left. 15-10. Gurley, the touchdown. What a job by the offensive line. A huge crease right down the middle of the field for Todd Gurley. And he takes it in for a touchdown. 35 yards.
Gurley, 16 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown right there. Anderson goes 23 carries, 123 yards. You throw Goff in there, 273 rushing yards the Rams had this past weekend. What a day they had. Meanwhile, Patriots, Chargers, Tom Brady hits Philip Dorsett on this over-the-shoulder touchdown catch.
Third down and six. White to the right of Brady. Two receivers right, including Gronk in the slot. Edelman along with Dorsett left. Julian with short motion as Brady takes the snap. Back in the pocket. Throws a lob. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped him yet? Surgical.
They have not stopped him at that point. 21-7. That was the score of that ball game, and the Patriots really never looked back over their shoulders. In the meantime, you got Tom Brady, 34 of 44, 343 yards, a touchdown right there, quarterback rating of 106. They also ran for 155 yards on the day. And you would be remiss if you didn't mention the last one. Saints and Eagles, Drew Brees to Michael Thomas.
Brees drops back, throws, end zone, touchdown! Thomas from 2 yards out, and the Saints take their first lead of the day.
And they would not look back. That two-yard pass made it 17-14. They tacked on another three to make it 20-14. Drew Brees, spectacular, 28 of 38. Had the one pick, but two touchdowns on the day, 301 yards. Not under pressure too much. He was sacked a couple of times, but for the most part, stayed clean. Kamara, 16 carries, 71 yards. Also, Ingram, 9 carries, 53 yards. Had a 36-yard scamper, a big one for a first down late in the ballgame to basically seal the deal. But it ended up 20-14, and the Saints advance as well. They will now host the Rams. In the meantime, you got the Chiefs. They're going to be hosting the Patriots for the AFC and the NFC Championship games coming up this weekend. And that is your football frenzy. Good stuff there. Hey, don't forget, coming up Thursday night, going to be at Maddie's Bar and Grill. Looking forward to it. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, our second to last one of the season. Come on out and join us out there on College Avenue in New Berlin. Really looking forward to you being a face in the crowd. 6 to 8 Thursday night, Maddie's Bar and Grill. I think they still have the Bill Michaels burger, that big Italian burger still on the menu out there. Can't wait to find out. Stay tuned. By the way, that's all brought to you by Bud Light. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, but stay tuned. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, he's going to be joining us coming up the next hour. We got more right after this.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.